Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 18, entitled Lord Balaram Slays Demon Palamba. And we are treating text 22. Vahanto Ovayamanascha Charayantascha Godanam Bandhirakam Namavatam Jagmu Krishna Purogamaha Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus carrying and being carried by one another, and at the same time tending the cows, the boys followed Krishna to a banyan tree known as Bandhiraka. Please repeat responsibly. Thus carrying and being carried by one another, and at the same time tending the cows, the boys followed Krishna to a banyan tree known as Bandhiraka. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami quotes the following verse from Sri Harivamsa, Vishnu Parva 11:18-22, which describes the banyan tree. Dadarsha vipulopdagra sakinam sakinam varam stitam dharayam megabam nibidam dala sanchayai gaganardo chitakaram parvatabhoga dharinam nila chitranga varnascha sevitam bahubir kagai phalai pravalaischa ganai sendro chapa ganopanam Bhavanakara vitampam lata pushpam samuditam. Vishala mulavatnatam pavanam bodha darinam adipatyam ivanyesham tasya deshasya sakinam kurvanam subakarmanam niravasham anatapam Nyagodram parvata grabhyam bandhiram nama namataha. The translation is that they saw that best of all trees, which had many long branches, with its dense covering of leaves, it resembled a cloud sitting on the earth. Indeed, its form was so large that it appeared like a mountain covering half the sky. Many birds with charming blue wings frequented that great tree, whose dense roots and leaves made it seem like a cloud accompanied by a rainbow, or like a house decorated with creepers and flowers. It spreads its broad roots downward and carried upon itself the sanctified clouds. That banyan tree was like the lordly master of all other trees in that vicinity, as it performed the all auspicious functions of warding off the rain and the heat of the sun. Such was the appearance of that Nyagroda tree known as Bandhira, which seemed just like the peak of a great mountain. Omagana Tamaridasya Gyan Gyanan Shalakaya Yamanach Hare Krishna. So first of all, I like to request all these wonderful souls assembled here this morning to extend their kind blessings to me so that I can say a few words for my own progress and probably for the pleasure of the assembled Vaishnavas. Normally, when I come to Radha Gopinath Temple, I come for one thing. I come to hear. This temple is full of katha. Krishna katha. So those who want to drink that Krishna katha, they come to Radha Gopinath Temple. And that is my main reason of coming here, to drink the katha that is always flowing from the lotus lips of the wonderful devotees of this Sangam. I don't come to speak. What do I have to say? I have nothing to offer. I only come with a big basket to beg the mercy of the wonderful devotees here. But somehow, I have been placed here to say something, even though I'm reluctant to say something. Because for the last few days, I have taken so much, I've received so much, and I wanted to just carry that to Africa. I just wanted to keep that covered, protected to Africa, so that I can share the wonderful, wonderful nectar I've received here. But by opening my mouth, I may be compelled to say some of those things. On Ram Navami Day, we had a wonderful opportunity of hearing wonderful narrations from Braj Bihari Prabhu. Very sweet. I wish that class had gone on the whole day. It was very sweet. And then in the evening, it was topped up by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu. The evening was so sweet. And then the next morning was Sunday. Vijay Prabhu made it wonderful. The morning Srimad Bhagavatam was so sweet. And the evening, he finished it with the Sankirtan seminar. I had put those things in a special box, which I want to take to Ghana, West Africa, and distribute. So I didn't want to open my mouth in any way, because some of those things may escape. But now, I'm compelled to say a few things. So please, kindly offer your blessings so that I can say a few things for my own purification and probably for the pleasure of the devotees. So in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is describing how the cowherd boys are having a very transcendental, wonderful time with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it gives us a picture of what is happening in the spiritual world. In the material world, we are scratching matter in order to be happy. Everyone in the material world is scratching seriously in trying to get some happiness. And people are making very serious plans. Day in and day out, they are making serious plans how they can be happy. That is the whole scheme. But what do we see? The result of all these great plans is misery. Believe it or not, despite their great, wonderful plans to achieve pleasure, unlimited pleasure, all that they get at the end is misery. The fourfold misery of birth, disease, old age, and death cannot be avoided by anybody, no matter how intelligent you are. It cannot be avoided by anybody, no matter how wealthy you are. It cannot be avoided by anybody, no matter how great you are socially, politician, head of state. They undergo the greatest misery. That is a fact. But here we see these simple cowherd boys. They are frolicking with the supreme personality of Godhead. They are playing with the supreme personality of Godhead. And even the supreme personality of Godhead is carrying some of them on his own shoulders. Can you imagine that? Very blissful situation. So the spiritual world is full of wonderful activities. Krishna is known as Lila Madhuri. He performs very sweet, wonderful pastimes with his devotees. Constantly. There is no day, there is no night. There is no leave, no rest, because the devotees are intoxicated with the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we see that these cowherd boys, they are enjoying unlimitedly in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Of course, in the purport, we see Srila Sanatana Goswami quoting a number of verses from the Sri Harivamsa about the banyan tree. So I think we need to say something about the banyan tree. So, the banyan tree is a very important tree. It's a very, very important tree. And therefore, we see the Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 26th verse. Krishna says, Ashwataha Sarva Vrishanam. He says, of all trees, I am the banyan tree. Of all trees, I am the banyan tree. So if the banyan tree represents Krishna, or if Krishna identifies himself with the banyan tree, then we can understand how important the banyan tree is. He says, of all trees, there are thousands and millions of species of trees in this universe or on this planet, and there are many more elsewhere. But Krishna says, of all these trees, I am the banyan tree. So that shows how important the banyan tree is. And the purport of that verse, Srila Prabhupada writes that a banyan tree, Ashwata, is one of the highest and most beautiful trees, and people in India often worship it as one of their daily rituals. Also, we see that in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidura, the banyan tree is again talked about. It says, Vama uru dishtritya dakshinagri saroniham. Apashrita pakarshratam akrisham tyaktva pipalam. The Lord was sitting, taking rest against a young banyan tree, with his right lotus foot on his left thigh. And although he had left all household comforts, he looked quite cheerful in that posture. So when Lord Krishna was about to wind up his earthly pastimes, he left Dwaraka city and went to an isolated place and sat in a certain posture, leaning against a young banyan tree. And that is where he left this planet. So Srila Prabhupada writes, by quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that a lord sitting posture, keeping his back against the banyan tree, is very meaningful. The banyan tree is so called because the tree does not die very easily. It lives for many, many years. And then Srila Prabhupada says that a banyan tree represents the material energy of the Lord, the external potency of the Lord. And because this universe is considered the smallest of all the universes, the Lord was sitting with his back against a young banyan tree to signify how small this universe is. Furthermore, it also signifies that the Lord is leaving this universe to other universes. Just as the sun sets in one place and simultaneously rises in another place. When the Lord leaves this universe, he goes on to another universe to continue with his very wonderful, sweet pastimes. So, the story of the banyan tree continues. When Devahuti Mataji spoke to his transcendental son, Kapila Dev, he also talked about the banyan tree. She said, Vishwam Jugante Vatapatra Ekaha. Say, at the end of the millennium, you lie down on the leaf of a banyan tree, just like a small baby, and you lick the toe of your lotus feet. So, when Krishna wants to perform the pastimes of tasting the nectar of his lotus feet, he lies on the leaf of a banyan tree. That shows the importance of a banyan tree. Lord Nityananda, he took his birth under a banyan tree. Until today, that banyan tree in a Kachakra dham still stands. And people go to offer their respects to this banyan tree. It is also mentioned in the Ramayana that when Lord Ram, Sita, and Lakshman, when they entered the forest, the first thing they did was to get the sap of the banyan tree for matting their hair. And then, when they left Bharat Raj Muni's ashram and they were walking towards Chitrakoot, on the third day, they came across a very huge banyan tree. And immediately, Mother Sita bowed down before this banyan tree, offered her obeisances to the banyan tree, and prayed to the banyan tree that their 14-year exile may be successful. And on their way back, they will be able to see this banyan tree again. We also see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also mentioned, when Lord Brahma, when Daksha performed his sacrifice and blasphemed Lord Shiva, and then the followers of Lord Shiva came to fight and cause havoc at the sacrifice, and Daksha was punished. He was killed and given a goat's head. Lord Brahma, the demigods, out of fear, they went to see Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma took all the demigods to the abode of Lord Shiva. And when they arrived in the abode of Lord Shiva, they found Lord Shiva sitting under a very great banyan tree, measuring 800 miles high, and they spread out of the branches 600 miles with very fine shade, which cooled the atmosphere so much so that one could perform meditation on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So we see that a banyan tree is such an important tree that Krishna constantly associates with this tree. And Lord Shiva, Param Vaishnav, he and his exalted wife, Parvati, they live under this tree. So here, we see that this banyan tree in Vrindavan is rendering very special service. It says that banyan tree was like the lordly master of all the other trees in that vicinity, as it performed the all auspicious functions of warding off the rain and the heat of the sun. So, this indicates that all the living entities in Vrindavan simply lives for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. So we see here that this banyan tree is offering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's offering service by providing shade to protect them from the rains, by providing shade to protect them from the heat of the sun. So he's offering such wonderful service. And that is the actual position of every living entity. Our position is to render service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our constitutional position. When we engage in rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the living entity becomes completely satisfied. But when the living entity refuses or forgets Krishna as the Supreme Master who is to receive his services, then the living entity falls into trouble. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in one of his purports in the Brahma Samhita, that when the living entity forgets Krishna, that immediately he becomes deflected by the Maya potency and is attracted to the material world. And the material world, he is dressed up in a gross material body of five elements. And inside that gross body, he is giving another body of subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and ego. And these serve as a prison suit for his surgeon in the material creation. And the life of misery begins. So, the living entities in Vrindavan, they are always very eager, very enthusiastic to serve the Lord. And as a result, they are in a blissful situation. In fact, Swayambhuva Manu tells Dhruva in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Samprasane Bhagavati Purusha Prakritai Gunai Vimukto Jiva Nirmukto Brahma Nirvanam Richati. He says that if one is able to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely in this lifetime, he is able to overcome both the gross and subtle conditions of life. And immediately, he is able to transcend the three modes of material nature. And then the result is, he is able to experience unlimited bliss. Brahma Nirvanam Richati. That is the goal of life. Everyone is actually searching after this unlimited bliss. Similarly, Lord Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, Mamchayo Vyabicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunai Samatityayatan Brahma Buyaya Kalpate. That if one engages in my devotional service constantly, without a fail, without a fall down, immediately he transcends the modes of material nature. And he comes to the Brahma Buddha platform, Brahma Buyaya Kalpate. And when he comes to that level, he enjoys unlimited pleasure. So, this is what we are all looking for. This is the goal of life. In the spiritual world, everyone is intoxicated with this bliss. But in the material world, everyone is miserable. Because the material world is designed to give us misery. Du kalayam asaswatam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is so designed to give us trouble, to give living entity trouble. Of course, that is also Krishna's mercy. Because when the living entity is suffering so much misery, when a living entity is going through trouble, he remembers the Supreme Lord. But when a living entity is surrounded by material pleasure, he forgets the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it's Krishna's mercy to fill this universe or this material creation with misery so that a living entity can remember him and engage in his service, and by so doing, the living entity can regain his spiritual position. So, that is what this Krishna consciousness is all about. Regaining our spiritual position. And Srila Prabhupada is so kind that he could have just stayed in Vrindavan and just enjoyed the spiritual bliss of Vrindavan. But the heart of a devotee bleeds when he sees others suffering. Paraduka Dukhi. The devotee feels pain when he sees other living entities suffering. The devotee does not want to enjoy alone. He wants to enjoy with others. So Srila Prabhupada, instead of just enjoying in Vrindavan, he decided to go to a place like New York, where there are no devotees, where there is no spiritual association, But he went because he was thinking of all of us. He was thinking of all the conditioned souls in the material world who are rotting in the name of material pleasure, Maya Sukha. So, and out of his causeless mercy, he has kindly created this wonderful family of devotees called ISKCON. And so, as a result of this creation of Srila Prabhupada, even crows like me can get a drop of the mercy of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, of chanting the glories of the Lord. This is very wonderful. Hearing the pastimes of the Lord is very crucial. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18 verse 72, he asks Arjuna, he says, Kachit etach chrutam parata tuayi ikagrena cheta saha. He says, have you heard my words? Have you heard my instructions? Shrinu me paramam vacha. Have you heard my supreme instructions with attentive mind? Tuayi ikagrena chetasa. Hearing with attentive mind is very, very important. That is what would dissolve the illusion. That is what would erase the thoughts of Maya from the heart and the mind of the living entity. Twayi ekagrina chetasa. It is said that the mind has five stages. The first stage is called shipta, very disturbed. Very disturbed. And that is the conditioned mind, very disturbed. Anything you want to do with the conditioned mind, not possible, because it's very disturbed. Then the next stage is mudha, meaning stupefied. What can a stupefied mind do? Confused. Then the third stage is called vishipta. Vishipta means passionate, looking for glory, looking for attention. And then we have ekagrena. Ekagrena means focused. Focused mind. And then we have viruda. Viruda means controlled mind. So Lord Krishna was asking Arjuna, Tuayi ekagrena chetasa. Have you heard the supreme instruction? Have you heard my supreme words with focused attention? With pinpointed attention, this is what will remove your illusion. And Krishna said, yes, my dear Lord, I have heard your words with pinpointed attention. And as a result, Nashtu Maha Shmiti Labdha. That's the verse 73. Arjuna says, yes, I have heard your supreme instruction with keen attention, and as a result, my illusions are now gone. Nashta, Nashta Maha, Smriti Labdha. My illusions are now gone. So, hearing Krishna Katha, hearing Krishna conscious Katha, with an attentive mind, with a focused mind, hearing the holy name of the Lord with a focused mind is a key to success in our Krishna consciousness. Without that focused hearing, without hearing Krishna Katha with a focused mind, the illusions will not go. That is why it is often advised that we have to hear the holy names attentively. We have to chant the holy names attentively. That means, Twayi ekagrina chetasa. That means chanting and hearing attentively. That is a process of overcoming the illusory energy. So any devotee who is chanting the names of the Lord attentively, any devotee who hears Krishna Katha, who hears Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, with attention, such a devotee very soon will get free from the illusions of this body. Very soon would be freed from the illusions of the material energy, and we begin to experience the blissful nature of this Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada has given us the greatest gift, this Krishna consciousness. He has given us the greatest joy, this Krishna consciousness. He has given us the greatest boon, this Krishna consciousness. But now it depends on us how much we are taking this Krishna consciousness. And that is determined by how much we are giving attentive hearing, how much we are giving attentive chanting, and how much we are sharing this Krishna consciousness with others. But we cannot share when we have not heard. You cannot give what you don't have. If you approach a poor man and ask him for $1,000, he doesn't have, he cannot give. But if you approach Bill Gates and even ask for $1 million, he can easily give you because he has billions of dollars. So similarly, if we hear a Krishna conscious katha with pinpoint attention, then we can also give because we have heard. So hearing is very important, and that is the beginning of devotional service. Just as this banyan tree is rendering such wonderful service to Krishna, his wonderful associates, the cowherd boys, we can begin our devotional service by hearing. Just by hearing, Krishna is pleased. And what to speak of, if we repeat that information, what to speak of, if we share that information with others, Krishna is most pleased. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, Yaridam Guyam Paramam. He says, that devotee who tells the devotees, who preaches the secret of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he comes to me. So Krishna reveals how one can become a pure devotee just by sharing the information of Bhagavad Gita with the devotees. Pure devotional service is guaranteed. And Krishna says, at the end, such a devotee will come to me. How wonderful it is to study Srimad Bhagavad Gita, to hear Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and share it with others. That is the path of pure devotional service. Hearing Bhagavad Gita, studying Bhagavad Gita, and sharing that information with others makes you very dear to Krishna. And who in this class doesn't want to become dear to Krishna? No one. All of us, we want to be dear to Krishna. We want to be like the cowherd boys. We want to frolic with Krishna. And it begins with hearing. Twai ikagrena chetasara. We should hear with attention. Attentive hearing. Then we can overcome the illusions of this material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, if there are any comments, we are welcome.
I was very much inspired to hear more attentively. But how to develop the quality to hear attentively? Like, everyone wants to develop this quality, definitely. But what are the steps one should take so that we can really, really one-pointedly, focusedly hear Katha?
Thank you very much for that, that nice, wonderful question. Whatever qualities we want to develop begins with association. The English people say, show me your friend and I will tell you your character. That is a very important statement. Whatever we want to, qualities we want to develop, we can develop it by association. Find out those devotees who are very seriously hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Identify those devotees who are attentive in Srimad Bhagavatam class. Associate with them and just follow their example. Mahaprabhu gave us five principles. Of the 64 principles or practices in devotional service, he identified five. Bhagavat Sravan, Nam Kirtan, Sadhu Sangha, Mathura Vas, and Achana Vidhi. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name of the Lord, associating with devotees, living in a holy place like Mathura, and worshipping the Achavigraha of the Lord. Mahaprabhu says, if we just do these five principal activities of Krishna consciousness, guaranteed, our going back home is guaranteed. So Sadhu Sangha, associating with devotees, is a beginning. Actually, it is said that that is the birthplace of bhakti. It is the birthplace of bhakti. We cannot become devotees without associating with devotees. And we cannot become Uttama Bhaktas without associating with Uttama Bhaktas. A politician cannot give bhakti. Neither can a businessman give bhakti. Only a bhakta can give bhakti. And that is why Kapila Dev, when he was discussing, instructing his mother, he says, Satam prasagam mama virya sambido. Then he ends with, Shraddha ritir bhakti anukramashyati. He says, devotional service is very potent in the association of devotees and hearing. Becomes wonderful. It becomes the hearing, the heart and the ear becomes attracted. Becomes it becomes sweet. Hearing becomes sweet. Hearing becomes relishable only in the association of devotees. And what happens is that one can develop faith, which is a springboard for bhakti. Shraddha ratir bhakti anukrashamati. Without faith, one cannot perform bhakti. And you cannot get bhakti, we cannot get faith without associating with the devotees. Satam, devotees, prashagam, associating. So, if we want to develop attentive hearing, then we must associate with those devotees who are very attentive in class. Those devotees who take Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously, those devotees who take the process very seriously, if we associate with them, then we can also develop those qualities. I hope your question is answered. Hare Krishna. Ranvashramad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.